Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Wholeness Podcast. I'm your host, Melissa Catherine, intuitive coach specializing in mindset mastery and committed to bringing you back to wholeness, the truth of who you were before you ever thought you were less than, whether it's due to a number on the scale, a trauma, or challenges in life. So many of us have limiting beliefs that we somehow aren't enough, and I'm here to tell you it's just not true. As a leader in transformation, having been a coach for almost a decade with a background as a nutritionist, fitness expert, and hypnotherapist, I specialize in emotional and mindset mastery with a spiritual connection to support you in living your best life in a body that you love. Listen each week to receive expert guidance, live coaching, and have your questions answered. It's time for you to have wholeness now.
Oh my gosh. Okay, guys, I am so excited to have one of my besties here with me. Christine, what is up, girl?
Hey, it's so good to be here.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So for everyone, Christine and I used to be neighbors in California, and our backstory goes, what is it about now? Like 7 years, 5 years, 5 years?
Oh, it's more than five for sure. Cause it goes back to New York.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So first I want to tell you about who Christine is. So Christine, I have to go into your bio, and I'm going to have you sit there in that uncomfortable space where I talk about all the incredible things that you've done. So guys, Christine has been a coach. She like started off in the coaching world. I'm going to put her as like Christine and like Tony Robbins. And then everybody else is like, I want to be a coach. And I can tell you this because when I was a fashion designer in New York, I was sitting in my office and I'm like, this is not what I'm meant to be doing. I have this job that I love. And Christine was on my computer and I was like, who's this girl? And I think it was the first book that you wrote. About girls in their 20s.
20-something, 20 everything.
Thank you. Thank you. And I'm sitting there and I was like, oh my God, I love this girl. And I'm like, I love what she's doing. And I like wanted to go on one of your retreats and all these things. Fast forward, she's like one of my best friends. So it's fascinating how the world connects you. But to tell you, Christine has been a coach for over 16 years. And she is a master coach, facilitator, speaker, runs incredible events, retreats. She now works hand in hand with her husband, which we're going to talk about, Stefanos, mm-hmm. who's incredible. And they have an amazing programs that they do together to support women in love and relationships, women and men. But Christine is a master coach, facilitator, speaker with over 16 years experience. She's a best-selling author of 3 books and has a new book coming out, which we will talk about. She most recently was Expectation Hangover, which is an incredible book that everybody should read. Free yourself from your past, change your present, and get what you really want. She's the host of a top-rated podcast, Over It and On With It, which doesn't have like 3 million downloads or something crazy?
About 5 now, yeah.
Okay, 5 million downloads. It's an incredible podcast, and she also does something called the Coach's Corner on it, where you can hear her coach people. And it's so helpful. It's so inspiring. It's so motivating. So there's a ton more here, but Christine, I want us to dive in because we're coming up on the new year. And one of the things that I know about you is you are incredible with rituals. You are incredible at rituals, creating rituals around the new year and practices. And really, really kind of helping people to ground into what it is that they want. And as a master, and I don't use this term loosely, manifester, like I feel like manifesting gets said 50,000 ways all the time. Mm-hmm. And you truly have done it with your soulmate and calling him in and in the life that you created. So, right now, as we are closing out what many would deem just an incredibly challenging year, what are some of the practices that you and Stefanos or that you're going to do to bring in a powerful new year with the winter solstice here? And what would be like three different things, even one that you would really say that you know would really support people in releasing this past year?
Yeah. Well, I'll share that. I just want to preface it by saying, I think that sometimes there's a lot of pressure on the new year. Like, I've got to do something great, and I've got to have a great New Year's Eve, or I've got to do this ceremony or this process, or know my word for the next year, or know my intention. And yes, and like last year and last Christmas, I did not have a good Christmas. I did not have a good New Year's last year. I kind of couldn't wait for it to be over. And this year was one of the best of my life. So I just wanted to kind of put that out there and say, like, don't put too much pressure on it. Yeah. And I think that's because the reason why this year was such a great year for me is because I make what a lot of people say for New Year's a daily practice and a daily ritual. So I think if anything, let this end of 2020 bringing you into 2021, as we enter deeper into this next decade, let this be where you really start those daily practices, just the way that you live your life. So it isn't just reserved for New Year's, because that kind of tends to be when we start to review things and look at things and think about what kind of intentions we want to set and changes we want to make and practices we want to put in place. And great, it's a great marker. For me, it's more my birthday. That's when I really do a lot of that. But let it not take a year for you to put these kind of practices in place. So one thing that I guide people through every year is a practice for the 31st and a practice for the 1st. And on the 31st, you do a year in review. So you go through the year month by month, and just like everything for January, things that happened, challenges you faced, accomplishments, fun times you had, an outfit you bought that you just love, like whatever it is, maybe a trip you took. And you just do this year in review month by month. And after you do that, you scan it and look at what are the themes or what were the lessons from this year, because every year of our life presents lessons. And, you know, we're living, especially in this year, which I think will be a year that will go down in history for years and years and years to come. We all had different lessons. This year was triggering for us in different ways. So you can really look at, what did I really need to learn this year? What were the qualities I really needed to embody? What were the challenges I overcame? And then after you survey that, you write on a separate sheet of paper what you want to let go of. So what are the things that you don't want to bring with you into next year? Maybe it's certain practices, maybe it's certain habits, maybe it's certain phrases you use. Maybe you constantly say, I'm so overweight, or I have no money, or I can't afford it. And you want to stop saying that because you want to keep affirming it. You want to stop affirming it. And so you write down everything that you really want to let go of, that you want to leave behind in this year, and then you burn it. You know, burning something, fire is very symbolic and it's very ceremonial, and it's a ritual of burning something. So finding a safe way, I mean, a lot of us have fireplaces, so that's a great way to do it, or just a tin or metal bucket. Just do it in a safe way. I trust anyone that takes this advice will do it in a safe way. If you don't feel you can do it in a safe way, you can rip it up into little tiny pieces and throw it away.
Yeah.
So, and then you just let it go and you watch it. There's something about watching it go. And another way that you can do this is write everything down, rip it up, and then get in a bath. And imagine that you're kind of sitting in the past year. And as you let the bath drain, you lift up the thing to let it drain. You sit in the tub and you watch the water go down the drain, and you watch it come off of you, and you watch it disappear. And that can be symbolic of everything that you're letting go. So it's always really great to let go of something before you bring something in, because a lot of people set their resolutions and their intentions for a new year. But just like you don't want to go shopping and bring a lot of stuff back and put it into your refrigerator, you want to empty out your refrigerator of all the expired things and things don't serve you anymore and the guacamole that's gone bad, and just get rid of that stuff before you, you know, bring more in. And then on the first, it's all about setting intentions. So I put out every year a guided visualization for both these things, the letting go and the setting intention, and really calling in, you know, what you want to bring in for this year. I mean, on New Year's Day, we're going to be with some friends doing some ceremony and setting some intentions for not only what we want to bring in, but for how we want to help and how we want to help really shift consciousness and help people out of the trauma that they've been in. But you can focus just on you. That's not selfish. That's self-honoring. Just really think about what you want to bring in and what are your intentions and what are your prayers, and really vision that and feel that. And the thing to keep in mind whenever we're setting intentions or thinking about what we want to create is we want to attach not to the thing, but to how it makes us feel. So really being descriptive in how you want to feel. So even if there aren't things you want, you can talk about how you want to feel. I want to feel spacious. I want to feel free. I want to feel creative. I want to feel excited. I want to feel connected. I want to feel love, and really get into those feelings. I think that for a lot of us, 2020 has felt restrictive in a lot of ways. And yes, and yes, it's been restrictive in a lot of ways. And we are our sovereign beings and we're free inside. And I think, you know, just to mention a book, Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning is a great book to read anytime you feel restricted, because it's all about his journey in a Nazi concentration camp and knowing that in his mind, he could still be free. And so really thinking about like, what are some ways that you felt restricted, and how do you really want to start to feel more freedom and more expansiveness and more abundance this year? Because that's all possible.
I love it. Can you repeat that book one more time? Because I guarantee there's people that are like, wait, what did she say?
Yes, the author is Viktor Frankl, and the book is called A Man's Search for Meaning.
Thank you. Okay, mm-hmm. I love this. And so the other thing that I wanted to ask you is, you know, in all the work that you've done and all the studies, and I mean, this is your life's work. This is what you've dedicated yourself to. I know that there's so many people that are saying, and they come up on this time of year and they're alone or they're, you know, they're not able to be with family. And it doesn't even, regardless of COVID, you know, I think this comes up every holiday where there's a big time of the shoulds. I thought I'd be here. I should have done this or I should have done that. I wish I had this in my life, and how to not. So what would be your guidance on how to not fall into the lack of the things that you want and instead be in the freedom, in the abundance, in the knowing of having it? And mm-hmm. I'll bring this to, you know, for you even, with love, you know, you and I talked for years, and it's not that it wasn't, something that, you know, you were open to, and we can go deeper in that, but having the belief in it's coming.
Yeah.
And how to not feel the lack of what we currently cannot see.
Yeah. So there's a big distinction between feeling lack and feeling longing. And that was something I realized when I was creating something called the Be the Queen program, which my husband and I teach together to help people call in love. Is when I was, and we'll just use looking for a relationship as an example, but you can substitute anything that applies to you. It can be job, it can be money, it can be health, it can be having a child, like whatever it is that you're really desiring in your life that you don't have. And so when I was going through my single journey and, you know, another holiday alone, and every New Year's declaring, this is going to be the year I'm going to meet my person. And then another year would roll by and I'll be like, well, there goes that one. And people would say to me, you just need to be unattached. You just need to let it go completely and be unattached. And then I tried that for a while and that didn't work. And as I was, you know, taking myself through this own journey, I was like, if I'm unattached, how do I broadcast my desires? Like if I'm so unattached and I let go so completely, how am I still in the frequency of my desire? And so that's when the distinction between lack and longing came. So lack is, this is awful. My life would be so much better with it. Like you're really feeling into the not having it, which is a scarcity, right? And it was really painful. And it just attracts more of what you don't want. Just lack attracts more lack. But longing lets you have the desire. It lets you have the feeling. So when I was in lack regarding not being in a relationship, I felt lonely. I felt less than. I felt sad. I felt hopeless. I felt grumpy. I felt anxious, just a bunch of crappy feelings. But when I got in the longing, it was like I could feel my heart and I could get excited and invested and like jittery, like not jittery. What's
so
the word?
So longing for you isn't like sadness. It's not like a longing,
no.
Like a despair.
It's not an ache.
Okay.
And sometimes it would be an ache, but not a despair. It would be of like, oh my gosh, I know this is out there. It's sort of kind of like the frustration you see when kids, like I have nephews, and to watch the younger one try to keep up with the older ones. When he wanted to talk. Yeah, he wanted to talk and he just couldn't. And you could feel his excitement and his longing, because he's like, I know I'm going to talk someday and I just want to be able to do it now.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, it's coming, and it's like that longing, it's that desire, and you can feel the ache. But the thing about lack is when we're in lack, we're usually in self-beat. We're usually in something's wrong with me, or I'm a victim. Either one of those things. We're either it's all my fault and I'm a piece of crap, or I'm a victim of the world. Things never work out for me. Yeah. And longing is just, I have this desire, and you can have the longing and the desire without the suffering. The lack has the suffering. So it's like that yearning, that longing is okay. And then it helps you to generate the feelings you want to have, because you're going to be more likely to draw in what you really want to draw in when you're in the feeling of it. And that's just part of the work. The other part of the work is doing your inner work on your trauma and your limiting beliefs and the patterns you're in, the stories you have about things. And that's an important part of the work too. But when it comes to just like, if we're speaking about the law of attraction, I think the longing is okay. And I want to make that longing okay for people. You can have the longing without the suffering. Does that make sense?
I love that. Yes. And so I do think that there's a lot of men and women, I would say more so women, that end up feeling like they're doing something wrong.
Yes.
Or that they need to be doing more. And that they, you know, that term like work, like how much more work do I have to do on myself? Yeah. How much, what else am I supposed to do? And you're somebody, you know, that lives and breathes this. And, you know, your man, right, Stefanos came in after 10 years, right?
Almost. About eight and a half.
So
post-divorce.
Mm-hmm. Was there a time for you where you were kind of like, hello? Like,
oh God, like, there were years of that.
I mean, I know, you know, you and I've talked about this, and I've shared that about myself, where I'm like, dude, where's my man? When's it my time?
Yeah.
And so, you know, how did you stay true to, or stay grounded in that belief of like, I know it's coming and there's nothing that I need to fix?
Well, I didn't always. There were so many of those moments of maybe it's not coming. Maybe I'm going to be answering. That's my destiny. Maybe I had my shot at marriage and it just didn't work out. And, you know, so there were those moments. But what I always came back to is the longing and the desire and also knowing that, unlike something like, let's say, a creative project that is completely up to me, there was another person involved. And I was working with not only my own timeline, but his as well. And so that brought me great comfort as well to know, well, I may be ready, but he may still be working through stuff. Mm-hmm. And this is something I say to a lot of people, especially women who've worked on themselves and worked on themselves. And we even tell people that join us for Be the Queen, like, this isn't a program to necessarily work on yourself. This is a program to really like hold the container of the relationship you really want to have and start being that incredible partner to yourself and to him. This isn't about like what's wrong with you and let's fix it. This is really about let's like move you into that vibration and that awareness and that container before it's in your physical world reality. And so I took great comfort in that. And like, even though he is not physically present, and again, substitute he for the job, the child, the healthy body, whatever, in this moment, I still can feel into what that's going to feel like. It's happening someday. Like, there is the reality of that possibility out there in the universe. And so I'm going to feel into that as much as I possibly can. And then there were days I just gave myself full permission to be sad and to be hopeless and to complain and to be like, this is like, I've worked so hard on myself. When is it going to happen? And the fix it thing, what really helped me let go of the, there's something I need to change or fix about me, is that was unconsciously setting up that I needed to be perfect in a relationship. And the whole, one of the big, big reasons I wanted a relationship is because I felt like I had grown as much as I could on my own. Like, I wanted a mirror. I wanted someone to show me my blind spots. Like in anyone that's been in a relationship or that has kids, you know that when you have that kind of mirror and that kind of intimacy, it brings up all kinds of stuff. So I'm like, wait a second. Why do I think that if I believe that a relationship's going to help me grow, then why am I thinking I need to fix myself before I get in it? Yeah, I need to be healthy. Yeah, I need to clean up as much baggage as I possibly can, but I still want to be available for growth. Like I still want to like have that mirror and have that opportunity. And so that fix it thing, what I realized that was really about is because I wanted something so badly and I had so much uncertainty around it. I wanted reasons. Like I wanted reasons. If I just knew this and I could fix this, then I could make it happen. Yeah. And our love life and even having children, all those things, it's not something we can force or make happen. It's not like, oh my gosh, there's a bug in my computer and I need to figure out what it is so I can fix it. These matters of the heart and these soul contracts we have with people, we have to realize we don't have total control at all. Yep. And there's a lot of surrendering and leaving things up to the magic of the universe that I think is important for all of us to keep in mind.
So there's something that I always tell clients, and you know, it's something that I know as my truth is if it's a desire on your heart, it's meant for you.
Yeah.
I personally don't believe that we're given desires that really create emotion in you when you think about like, oh, that's not meant for me. Like if it brings sadness, then that's not your truth to embody. So I know that that's something that I firmly believe in and really stay steadfast in my thinking that brings a lot of peace. And I also love, you know, that you are sharing that you allow yourself to express what you feel without making yourself wrong. And I think that, you know, that's not something that's common, especially with women. I think there's such a disallowance of emotions and so much judgment. And that we shouldn't have those feelings, that we shouldn't be sad. And there's a lot of bypassing around that, especially in the self-development world around always being happy, law of attraction. You're going to, you know, attract in bad things. Yeah. We shouldn't feel that way. So that being said, I wanted to ask you, and then we're going to come back to some other things around love, and relationships, because I really feel that very much right now, especially in the holidays and COVID and partnership and those that want it and those that are in it and how to best work together and be in that as you've powerfully done. One thing that I did want to segue into is you have been in this world for a long time. And I love how the world has opened up so much to spirituality and self-development in a way that I had yet to see.
Yeah.
And I think it's really incredible. That being said, I also have seen some things that are detrimental in as another form of judgment, another form of making ourselves wrong. What are some things that if you had to say again, like, what are some things that you're seeing that you're just like, I wish that I could just shed light on these things in my personal. Yeah. Mm. Are there any that kind of come to light that you're like, you have the mic right now. What would that be?
It's a couple things. I really don't think that you can sweep your trauma and your childhood and things that happened to you in the past under the rug. And then just think positively and meditate and follow the law of attraction. Everything's going to be fine. I really, you know, I have a 1 foot in coaching and law of attraction, all those things, all the woo. And then another foot firmly planted in psychology. That's where my master's degrees are, in biology, in trauma-informed therapy. I'm not a trauma-informed therapist, but I've studied a lot about it. In somatics, body-based feeling, all of those kinds of things. And I think both are important. And one thing that I think the coaching industry often convinces people of is that they just need to think differently. They just need to think differently and they just need to bust those limiting beliefs and reframe and change their language and just use the mind. And it bypasses too much the heart, the emotional body, the past. And on the other side, sometimes, and this is not a bash on therapy, I love therapists, I love the profession, on the other side, sometimes therapy can get us stuck in the past and in the story and in the victim. And so from my point of view, we need to find that balance of like going and digging in the past and also thinking about a different future we want to create. And so it really requires both of those things. And so, you know, what I want to tell people who may be in like the personal development world and like learning so much about their mind and everything they can do and attract is don't start thinking that you're failing at personal development because things aren't changing. This happens so much that people come to me for coaching or retreats or whatever. They're like, I read all the books and I'm doing all the things and I'm doing the manifesting. And I'm meditating 20 minutes a day and I'm chanting and I'm blah, blah, and things aren't changing. It's like, well, we've got to deal with your trauma. Like, and what I'll then hear is like, well, I know I was abused, but it was actually good because it made me stronger and it taught me a lot. And like, we're not at the silver lining part yet. We're not there. You know, we've got to actually feel your feelings and go back and do that inner child work and help bring those parts that get fragmented in our psyche back into wholeness. And then that's where we can start to blend a lot of the thinking and law of attraction, all that kind of stuff. But I have yet to met anyone who has been able to bypass their human experience just through thinking and meditating. I mean, the spiritual world is amazing, but newsflash, we're all in human bodies. Like we're all in this world dealing with gravity, dealing with human stuff. And there's a reason we came here to have this human experience. So don't bypass the human experience and think that you're failing because you're not able to manifest parking spots like your friends or like do a vision board and then have that Mercedes or whatever it may be. And I mean, that's not really the way I work. How I quote unquote manifest in my life is I keep working on my stuff. Like I keep looking at my shadow, working on my stuff, looking at what's up for me, like whatever my latest trigger is or whatever the latest challenge is, that's my homework. That's my playground.
Yes.
And how I manifest the next amazing thing is not by thinking about, well, what do I want? It's more as I heal and shift that my vibration naturally changes and I attract into my life things that are more aligned with where I'm at. The whole career has been built on doing my own inner work. I mean, yes, I've done stuff and yes, I've done some marketing. Yes, I've written books and all those kinds of things, but the books I wrote were for me. I mean, they were not for my ego, but for my development. Like I was writing what I needed to know and what I wish someone would have taught me. And so it's, I think that the best way we can shift and quote unquote attract things in our life is to continue working on our own stuff so that our frequency changes and the way we view the world changes and therefore what we draw in changes as well.
Oh my God. So beautifully said. I know, I can totally say that, you know, before I even got into this space, it was like, think the power of your thoughts. And right. And then I realized it was that, and it has hands down inner child work has been the most profound work that I've done to date for myself. And I find that it's what moves my clients to that next level. Because it is, you know, that's where there is so much trauma that's rooted there. I know for me, I thought I had a big misconception around trauma and just assumed, oh, trauma is like, you know, you were like gang raped by 10 people, you know, or you had, you know, just something, just this like really horrific, not really recognizing the difference and that there's, you know, a trauma is really anything that's impacted you, that's stayed with you, that still evokes an emotional response in your body, whether... Yeah. It was being told that you were fat when you were little, you know, to a breakup, to losing a loved one, to, you know, being raped. I mean, it can run the gamut, but really not demeaning any of that and recognizing how it's in the body and what it's bringing up for you. And I know I personally just found anything I resist persists and it will continue to show up until it's actually looked at. So that is... brings me to my next question for you too. In COVID right now, I think people have had to look at their stuff, whether they want to or not, and continue to look at it and continue to look at it. And, you know, you are new. Well, I mean, not, I guess, are you still in the newly married stage? Kind of.
I don't think so. I mean, we've been married over two years. So.
Oh my God. That's right. That's this past year. I feel like that's a time warp. I can't believe it's already been 2 years. So with COVID, one of the things that there's always the talk of is really conscious communication.
Yeah.
And can you explain really what that is and what are some practices that you've found to be really powerful in communicating with your partner, loved yeah. ones, just in these close quarters to actually be able to feel expressed and mm-hmm. get your needs met at the same time?
Yeah. Well, I think that a lot of us just communicate too fast and too carelessly. And we usually are coming from a wounded place or a triggered place, even if we don't know it.
Yeah.
So generally, when we're expressing something we want, we're usually coming from a place of we're not getting it. And so we want to like say it in a way that it gets through. And sometimes yeah. there's blame and anger in that. What, just backing up to COVID for a moment, and I've been saying this since March, what COVID has done is thrown pretty much the world into a trauma response and has thrown everyone into a state of high uncertainty. Nothing triggers the inner child. And let me just define inner child. Inner child is basically a piece of you from conception to call it 18, but especially that 0 to 7, 0 to 12 timeframe. And it stores all of your memories from childhood, even if you don't consciously remember them. It's the very, very deeply sensitive part of you. Deeply sensitive in terms of it feels everything and can go to 0 to 100 in a second. And deeply sensitive also in terms of it's very intuitive and it's very wise. It's also the part of you that's magical and playful and all of these things. But it's that part of you that experienced everything in your childhood that formed your perception of the world and your belief systems. And your inner child, like especially if something traumatic happened, either big T or little T, like big T rape, sexual abuse, little T you moved, and that was really hard for you. Not to minimize any experiences at all.
Of course.
We have to really honor all our personal experiences. That inner child has basically stored all of it. It's all in there. And so whenever we're thrown into uncertainty, no matter what it is, the inner child is activated. So I think that's why we've seen so many people act absolutely ridiculous this year. I mean, there's so many videos out there, people just losing their, you know what? And we know that whenever someone's reaction to something doesn't match the circumstances, like everybody can relate to this. You're in traffic, someone cuts you off, you lay on that horn way longer than necessary, you shout profanities, and then you want to drive up next to him and give him an evil look. Like, not really necessary for someone cutting you off in traffic. Something's triggered. And so we're seeing that a lot yeah. this year is like the reaction to things is, and the how angry we get at things is bigger than the actual circumstance. And so when that yeah. happens, we know there is an inner child that's triggered there. And since there's been so much fear and so much uncertainty and also so much restriction, everybody's inner child has been activated. So we have these people walking around in adult bodies, but really it's the inner child, this wounded, angry, scared child that is the one running the show.
Yes.
And so that really doesn't work well in relationships. If, you know, you and your partner are trying to communicate and you're 5 and he's 7, you know, and that's even though you might be 35 and 37 in that communication, different ages may be triggered. So the secret to great communication, from my point of view, is really being able to communicate between yourself and your own inner child. Mm. Like actually, and we one of the reasons my husband and I started teaching virtual workshops on healing your inner child is because we saw the need for this. We saw how many yes. people were activated. And not many people know that they even have an inner child or that they can communicate. And so many people don't remember their childhoods. So they think it's impossible to have relationship with their inner child. But that's not true. You don't need to remember things to have that relationship. But true communication starts from you as the parent, the inner parent inside of you, and that inner child inside of you. And, you know, maybe some people listening had model parents and they wouldn't change a thing. But I think most of us would probably change a couple things about our parents and didn't go so well some of the time. And we end up parenting ourselves like our human parents did. And that can not turn out so well. So we've got to find that healthy inner parent voice inside of us to communicate to that child so that when we're activated, triggered, pissed off, angry, want something from our partner in a relationship, relationship, we can go inside and be like, what do I need? Like, what do I really need right now? What's really going on? I'm trying to think of a good example. So I'll just give this is not necessarily COVID related, but I'll give an example of inner child being activated. So when I was young, when I was a little girl and my dad would get angry and upset, he'd drive really fast. Like if something happened and it pissed him off, like he'd drive really fast and really jerky. And even though he was in control and I don't think putting us in danger, when you're that little kid in the back seat, it's like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. And my husband, who's Greek Italian, fiery temper, sometimes things will happen, have nothing to do with me. And he'll start driving really jerky and really fast. And when it would first happen, I'd scream at him, don't drive like that. What are you doing? And I just yell, and that would just make him more mad.
Yeah.
But finally I realized after one time this happened, I got home and I was talking to my little girl and she's like, I hate that because it reminds me of being so scared with dad and not knowing, not being able to speak up and having zero control. And I asked the little Christina inside of me, what do you need? And she's like, I need you to like communicate this and protect me. Like I didn't have a voice then, but I have one now. And so I was able to communicate, not screaming at my husband, not telling him he was a jerk and driving like a crazy person. When we weren't in the car, I was able to pull him aside and say, I need to share something with you. When you drive fast like that, it brings me back to a time when I was a little girl, dad would get mad. I felt so scared. And even though like I trust you and I know you're in control and I know you wouldn't put us in danger, inside of me, I'm terrified. And I need you to know that and remember that and not do that when we drive. Now, he could hear that. He could hear that and understand that way better than me screaming at him for being a jerk and to slow down and ordering him around, you know? So that's just a little example of how these wounds get activated and we can know what's happening. We can explain to our partner because when they really know where we're coming from, then they can actually hear us because we all hear through our model of the world. You know, for Steph, driving fast isn't a big deal. It isn't a big trigger for him. It is for me. There are certain things for him that are a big trigger that aren't for me that he's had to explain to me that I do that I need to dial back on. And so when we can communicate from the place of like, this is what I need and this is how I feel and I'm not blaming you, but when this experience happens, how it lands for me is this. The key to communication is no blame. The thing that throws communication off the rails more than anything in any relationship is blame and defensiveness. If you're blaming somebody, you're not going to get anywhere. And if you're defending yourself, you're not going to get anywhere either. And that's where it usually is. It's a blame, defend dynamic. Blame, 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 defend, defend, blame, defend, blame, defend, blame. And then it's just nothing happens. And so if we can really get to that point of taking responsibility for ourselves and hearing the other person and knowing that in any relationship, you're on the same team. Like we coach couples and we'll see them arguing. We'll be like, whoa, 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 wait a second. Are you guys on the same team? Like you're on the same team here. You both want this relationship to work. So do you want this relationship to work or do you want to be right? Because you're both right. Like in an argument, usually both people are right from their point of view. But if we get attached to that, I'm right, you're wrong, we get nowhere. So really hearing. Also not raising our voice in communication. Yep. Because when
you raise your voice, the person just automatically goes straight to the defensive.
Yes. And our brain, when we're upset and when we're activated and when we're yelling, when we're either being yelled at or when we're yelling, our amygdala starts firing. We think we're in danger and we cannot think clearly. And that's when we say and do the things that are most hurtful.
Yeah.
So the best we can, we don't want to yell. And if we get really upset, it's like, I need to go scream into the pillow. I'll be back. Perception checking is also an incredible communication tool. It's laborious because it slows communication down, but that's good because like I said, we're too fast and sloppy in our communication. So I think everybody can think of a time where they've said something to a loved one and the loved one heard something totally different than what you meant. You're completely misinterpreting. It's like, whoa, that is not what I said. And so in when we're communicating things that are really important, like saying, okay, blah, 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 communicate the thing. And then can you repeat back to me what you heard me say? I really want to make sure I heard it accurately. And same if someone says something to me that is hurtful or that I'm like, whoa, I'll say, this is how I just heard that. Is that what you meant? And really do that perception checking so that you can make sure that message sent is message received and just like slow things way down. And remember, like with most people you're communicating with, you're on the same team. And even if it is someone that's adversarial, you're not going to get anywhere by that blame and defense cycle. It's just a loop.
Oh my gosh, this is so good. I love, so I just want to highlight for everybody, really, you're on the same team. Mm-hmm. I love when you said, you know, do you want to, you know, are you more vested in being right? Because yeah. I think that that happens so often. It's like, no, did you hear what I said? And it's like, that's actually not what this is about, right? We're in this together. So I want you to win. I want, right? Like this isn't about who's being right. And then slowing it down. I think that that's such an important message in all aspects of life, relating and communicating within yourself. And I know even with my team, I'll relay things with projects, especially visual things or when it comes into the creative aspects. And then I'll go, okay, what did you hear me say?
Yeah.
So, and then they'll repeat it back to me, because it's important to understand that everyone has a different way of processing information and processing what they're hearing, both auditory, and they're already creating visuals and getting tied to things. Another thing that I love, and it's not always as easy to do, but I find that it's so powerful, is really knowing that you would always love a clean slate and giving that gift to your family, to your partner, of not bringing in all of yesterday, last week, everything, and just really coming in fresh as how can I love you from this moment without all past attachments, frustrations, disappointments. A lot easier said than done, but I do find that when you can, it's the person that's on the other end, their entire energy gets in sync with yours.
Yeah.
And you're both giving each other that gift.
We actually just did a video, Steph and I did, and on Instagram, about no more BS apologies or fake forgiving. Because sometimes we do that. Like, we apologize because we want the fight to be over, or we just like want it to be done with, or we're just annoyed, we don't want to talk about it anymore, or we just want the person to stop nagging us. So it's just like, yeah, I'm sorry. But it's not really authentic. Or we forgive when we really haven't forgiven. It's like the person like gives all their excuses, and it's like, okay, I forgive you, but we're forgiving more for them than for ourselves. And so when we have those inauthentic apologies or forgivenesses, it does create that resentment. And like you were saying, Melissa, to have that clean slate, don't apologize unless you mean it.
Yeah.
And really get to like why you can't apologize. Like, what are you not owning, or what needs to be said, or what needs to be cleared? And if you forgive, like truly, truly forgive, don't hang something over someone's head for all eternity. Yeah. Because if you can't, if there was something Steph did that, or a friend that I just could not forgive, I'd have to end the relationship. I wouldn't want to live with that. Like, and remember, forgiving doesn't mean we're condoning what happened. It means that we're letting go of the judgments. We're letting go of the anger. We're letting go of the resentment. It's like, oh, you cheated on me. Okay, I authentically forgive you. So that makes it okay. No, the act is still quote unquote wrong, but we're forgiving the judgment and the charge we have on it. And I think that in relationships, if we don't apologize authentically and really own and empathize with how someone felt and what we did, and we don't truly, truly forgive, then we're just stacking resentment upon resentment upon resentment. And we're just building all these layers and walls and relationships that really kill intimacy.
And that's when all of a sudden, you know, you see like a woman or a man just lash out, and you're like, I got the wrong milk. Like, I'm confused. And then you realize like this had nothing to do with the milk. This had to do with like the past 10 years of like, right? Like, so, and that's another thing that I would say, that I know, a great thing to do is just kind of like a weekly check-in with your partner, with whoever you're cohabitating with friends, colleagues, you know, your team at work. I'm just kind of like, are we good? Is anything we need to clear? Okay. Like, let's start off Monday in a good space.
Right. So,
there's something else that, again, that gets talked about a lot, and it's the masculine and the feminine. And I know personally when it like first came out, I was like, yes, oh, what a beautiful distinction. There's a lot of women that are, would say high achievers, very successful, like to have control are more in that space. And when we're talking about being in your feminine and your masculine, what does that mean in the context that you're seeing in relationships and how, because I do think it kind of gets thrown around and I think there's confusion around it, around like, what does that even mean? And like, am I not supposed to be? And I need to be more feminine and I can't find a man because I'm not, or I'm too feminine as a man and I can't. So yeah, if you could share a bit about that.
Yeah, I think that, and I love that you asked that because this is something I'm starting to talk about a lot, is I think that people are confusing masculine feminine energies for childhood wounding and protective mechanisms. So let me break that down.
Yeah.
So a lot of, we'll just use the example of single women, especially driven women, successful women, women that have done a lot of work. And driven successful doesn't mean you have to be a gazillionaire or, you know, it's not tied to money. It's just that you're passionate. You've learned how to be independent and take care of yourself. Let's leave it at that. Are told they are too masculine and they're too much in their masculine.
Yeah.
Yes. And I think we need to look a little deeper because, and why women get confused is because they're like, but I don't feel masculine. Like I feel like I'm a woman and I really want a masculine man. And you're telling me I'm too masculine. Like that's confusing.
Yeah.
Really often what it's about is it's about compensatory strategies. It's about protective mechanisms we put in place from a young age. And yes, some of those are adaptive. Like so many women have learned how to be in the world by following a masculine paradigm. So we have leaned more into that masculine energy. So there is that element of it, but there's also just the protective strategy. So like, for example, if you were abandoned by your father at a very young age, either he left completely or maybe emotionally, he just wasn't there, you're going to probably have some walls up and probably be a little scared to let someone in and probably be fiercely independent because you had to rely on yourself. That doesn't mean you're too much in your masculine. It has more to do with that abandonment wound where you decided like, I need to be independent because that's the way I survive. And that's not necessarily masculine or feminine. That's just the, like what I call a compensatory strategy or an adaptive strategy or maladaptive strategy that helped you basically survive at the time. So when we're looking at masculine and feminine, I think to really have that conversation and really be able to play with those energies, I'm echoing something I said earlier, was we've got to like go back further and unpack a lot of that childhood wounding and those strategies we put up. Like, for instance, I was teased growing up and felt very alone and was a late bloomer and young for my grade and the boys never liked me and blah, blah, blah. So I just formed a story that I'm very unlikable and there's something wrong with me. I'm never going to belong. So I need to be wildly successful to feel like I matter at all. Like that's what I'm going to have. I'm not going to have friends. Boys aren't going to like me, but I'm going to be smart and I'm going to be successful. And so many people would see that as, oh, you're too much in your masculine. But what was really going on is there was a scared little girl, a little elementary school, middle schooler in there who's like, no, like this is what I need to do to be liked. Like this is what I need to do. So I think for many people, they're confused and men are told this too. Like, you're too much in your feminine. You need to man up, where it's really more about wounding than it is about masculine or feminine. You know, a lot of times, you know, men are too much in their feminine because they had a parent that they could never please. And so they're in this people pleaser caretaker role and people tell them man up and they're like, but wait, I am a man. This is how I like get, this is how I'm safe in the world as I take care of people and I'm nurturing and this is where I get my value.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like there's, I think the masculine feminine conversation is important, but I think it's irresponsible to have until we look at really what's the wounding. And then we can start to have that conversation about polarity.
See, I mean, what I heard you saying, I feel like we could just have a whole show on this. because it's so important and I see it really not being discussed properly and I feel that it's causing people pain, unnecessary pain and judgment on themselves that again, they're doing something wrong as they're trying to grow.
Right.
When in essence, what you're saying is that men and women learned a way to survive in this world. It's a protection mechanism. It was a way, right? Really reminding us that our minds are set up to keep us safe. We're animals by nature, that we have, and it's like, ding, 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 you don't feel safe right now. What do you need to do? Who do you need to become? How do you need to act? And then those ways of being became a way that we knew was safe to operate and to get through to people or get things that we needed or wanted to become who we needed. So I love that you're really saying that it's really just a way to feel safe. And that once we understand that, then we can take a step back and really soften into and ask ourselves, well, what is it we need if we take that away?
Yep. Yep. Exactly. And then we can go into polarity. Like even my husband and I, when we got together, we'd have arguments that I was too much in my masculine and he was maybe too much in his feminine, but really it was just like our inner child wounding that was coming up. And now that we have handled that and we know how to be with our own, you know, past and our own inner child, we know how to respect that in each other. Now we can really have the conversation about polarity and about, because if you think about it, masculine feminine energy is archetypical energy, archetypical, yeah, whatever that word is. Yeah. And we can all tap into it. It's in all of us. We all have, like, whatever gender you identify with, you, each of us have masculine and feminine energy in us. Like, doesn't matter what gender we are. And that's an essence. That's an archetype we all can tap into. And we all have our own individual patterning and individual wounding. So before we can get to those archetypical energies of masculine and feminine, we have to look at how our own wounding affects that. And then when we clean that up, then we have a more clear, I think that's why so many people are confused about what's masculine, what's feminine. Because yeah, it's not something that you need to learn. It's inside of you. And what keeps people from really understanding, well, what's masculine, what's my feminine, is the wounding and the unresolved issues that they haven't cleaned up. Once yeah, you clean that up, it's like, ooh, it's clear. Okay, this is that and that is that. It's yes, just like you can feel it inside of you. It's like becoming fluent in a language. It's more something you have to remember or recall than it is something you have to learn.
So, okay, there's so much. You definitely have to come back. sadly, we do have to wrap up, but this is, I mean, you know, you dive deep in this and Be the Queen. Mm-hmm. And this is an epic program that's coming up soon, right? When is this available and when could people join?
So enrollment's open now because we have a bonus call January 14th. It actually starts like January 20 something. But it's open now. So enrollment's open now and you get some early registration bonuses if you join pretty soon, and a free call as well. And the thing about the program is we teach it live. So it's not like you sign up and you get a lot of pre-recorded videos. It's yeah, my husband and I teaching it live. There is some recorded content we give you, but all the calls and all the coaching, it's all live. So you're also in a container with other women and you start to really heal a lot of the feminine wounds too, because yeah, part of what a lot of women are unconsciously still playing out is competition with other women. And yeah, they see another woman get married and be like, it triggers unconsciously, oh, there's one less man, you know? And so there's yeah, this competition thing we have with being chosen, even if we're not consciously aware of it. And so being in that container of these incredible other women and really help you heal that wound as well, that sister wound that so many of us have.
Guys, I can personally attest to this program, the power of the program, how epic and amazing it is. Like, did it, loved it. It's incredible for personal growth, for really, I mean, it's everything that Christine was saying about aligning, and when she was no longer going, oh, I must settle and do this and there's something wrong with me, but actually going like, I'm holding the vision of what I want to create, the family that I want to have, the person that I'm calling in. And this gives you all of the tools to ground into that and to really be in alignment with it. And she takes you step by step through what she did to call it, like, her husband is awesome. Okay. We have to wrap it up. I'm being told we have to go, but we're going to have the link below. Christine, also, where can everybody follow you on Instagram?
Christine Hassler.
Christine Hassler. We have all our links to your social media, website, and the link to Be the Queen. Definitely check it out and definitely join, especially if you want love. And most of all, loving you and loving your life in 2021. This is definitely the program for you. Thank you so much, Christine, for being here. And thank you, everybody. I will see you next week.
Thank you for joining me today. If this podcast episode was super helpful for you, please share with your friends. Guys, sharing is caring. What would mean the world is an awesome review on iTunes. Simply click and give your 5-star review so I can keep bringing you great content to support you in shining bright, playing big, and living as your most beautiful, authentic, and powerful self in a body you love. This show doesn't stop here, so join our exclusive and private Facebook community called Wholeness with Melissa Catherine. Simply ask to join to receive endless complimentary videos, monthly Facebook lives exclusive for this community, and be a part of an awesome, sacred, safe space of incredible, like-minded women just like you, where you can feel heard, express, and receive additional guidance. And I have something else that's incredible for you this month. So if you've been struggling to understand why you sabotage the things that you want, girl, this is my zone of genius and this is what I do. So I have created a quiz for you based off of my international best-selling book called Eat Right for Your Archetype. This quiz is going to help you to identify which archetype you are so you can break free from self-sabotage to release weight and step into your power in life. So this is so much more. Even if you don't have to release weight, this is about being healthy, and your health and wellness is what empowers you to your greatness. So simply head on over to melissacatherine.com/quiz to take that quiz today, and you will receive your results right away, right in your inbox. All right. Thanks so much, guys. And I will see you in the next episode.